This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. This is Brent Macy, the Managing Director for the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and joining me today in the studio is the CEO and founder of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, Doug Field. How you doing, Doug?
I'm doing great. Sorry I missed the show last week. Missed all the snow in Atlanta, too.
All the ice, and I think when it was getting bad, I sent Doug an email, and I said, you know, hey, check out the homepage of the AJC and see all the bumper cars were playing up here while he was down in sunny Orlando at the Transitions Academy conference.
And playing with Mickey Mouse with my grandson.
There you go. Oh, that's good. Glad you missed it. It was crazy. You know, another one in the books for Atlanta. But
Just glad everyone was safe back here.
So you were down at Transitions Academy down there and really big, you know, optical lens company. And kind of tell the audience a little bit about what the discussion was down there around vision benefits and what those guys are doing.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think most people say, hey, what's the connection between a global optical lens manufacturer and we here in the healthcare benefits business? And, you know, we've been working with Transitions for probably, what, Brent, 5-6 years, mm-hmm. you know, on board with them for quite some time. And, you know, they are very committed to vision health and vision benefits. Obviously, they're, you know, it adds to the distribution lenses, but I think it goes beyond that. They're really committed to getting the message out about vision health and the value of annual, you know, vision tests and how that can help, vision exams and how that can help identify, you know, chronic diseases. And they're really excited about the emergence of private exchanges. And I think what Transition has been known for is a very strong brand, very strong product, but a very strong brand presence. And their message around exchanges is really the importance of branding. And I think that's important for everyone. You know, if you're a health plan and you're in an exchange, you know, how are you building your brand? Because you've got to change the way you do business today. You've got to change yourself into a retail environment, supplemental health, all these other solutions that are going to exist in a private exchange and even outside the exchange because of consumerism.
Now, for our audience, they, you know, the connection point with Transitions and all the vision players out there is they're partners, right?
So they're all partners, yeah.
Transitions is the one group, but then they partner with all the other vision players, like a VSP and others.
Yeah, correct? I mean, at the end of the day, they're trying to move more lenses. Let's face it, that's what we're trying to do, but they're taking a very, you know, strong position and supporting, you know, the messaging and supporting their partners, whether VSP or IMED or even, you know, we had a discussion today with that or this week with National Vision, who's a major, you know, optical, you know, retail operation. And what's their connection? It's all around, you know, the employee benefit, healthcare benefit space and getting that value message out to employers, brokers, advisors, you know, et cetera.
So. No, I know you're going to be leaving Atlanta this weekend and headed back out of town.
There's no snowstorm.
Back out of town, I think, to Texas. And I know there's a storm coming across there, but I think you're going to miss it. But going out there for a couple different conferences to speak at and kind of tell the audience a little bit about what those conferences are and kind of what the focus is.
Yeah, thank you, Brent. I appreciate the invite. I'm actually going out to Benefit Advisors Network, which is a broker network, you know, and they've got an annual meeting in Houston. Then I leave from there and go up into Dallas and attend the Hero Think Tank meeting. So I go from, you know, working with and talking to benefit brokers to the heart of kind of health and wellness thought leadership. But if you look at the brokers, I think it's an interesting theme on both of these events, even though it may be two different worlds in some way. You know, the circles come together. The theme of both is really operating in a new normal. I mean, that's actually the theme of the Benefit Advisor Network, operating in this new normal. How can brokers learn to serve their customers better and actually survive and have successful practices in this new normal? And the new normal meaning, you know, certainly the impact of the ACA. We all know that. We've talked about that every week, you know, with our guests and ourselves and Ron, you and I. But also the impact of exchanges, you know, on a broker's world. You know, and if a broker's going to, are they going to work with them? Are they going to ignore them? Are they going to recognize that they're a major disruptive force and everything else that, you know, that's happening? And then in the health and wellness space, kind of the same thing. I mean, that world is, you know, health and wellness companies, you know, employee health management has to really focus on what is the ROI message for employers. Mm-hmm. You know, what is that clear ROI message? And it's not the traditional ROI message. Maybe it's maybe more around productivity, you know, and what it, how does that productivity equation lead back to true ROI delivery for that employer? What is the impact of exchanges and the impact of, you know, the growth of high deductible full replacement programs on health and wellness?
One of the, you know, we had a handful of really innovative health and wellness companies come on board with us for IHC Forum and Expo in Atlanta. I mean, Hooper Homes, Interactive Health, some of the big players that you
Red
see.
Brick,
the, Red Brick Health. I'm probably leaving out a couple, and I apologize for that. But you see the connection points between health and wellness and the concept of consumerism. And what's your opinion on the fact that health and wellness, it's about creating a new culture of health inside of your employee population, the new buy-in to, hey, I got to take better care of myself and my family, and this health and wellness program allows me to do that, right?
I think, it's always been connected, and because, you know, in our mission, it's really about, you know, helping employers, you know, get their cost in line. You know, helping HR benefit people deal with some of their challenges they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, and then really helping that team of HR benefit wellness executives and their C-level executives really work on initiatives that build an employee population or families that truly are becoming better consumers of health care and of health, to your point. And with that, and I think that when I look at the health and wellness industry and they stepping in to be a part of the Institute, which we're excited about, you know, we've always had some of them part, is that they're finally seeing the connection points, because mm-hmm. they're seeing, you know, the connection to the Institute, the connection to consumerism, you know, and where that's a very important part.
Now, looking forward to this show today, it's going to be a great show, and kind of want to hit some highlights of the guests that are coming on. We're actually going to have Bill Campine. He's the Senior Vice President and co-founder of Healthcare Blue Book, and Healthcare Blue Book was one of the first movers in the healthcare transparency space, and that space is, as we all know, exploding and a very useful tool. You really don't have true consumerism without a transparency tool, so really looking forward to talking
to Bill.
Yeah,
we'll get into it more on the guests, but I think you make a good point. I mean, when Jeff Rice, who is the CEO and Bill's co-founding partner, when we first talked to him probably 6 years ago, Brett, up in Nashville. I mean, Jeff was ahead of his time because he had a very clear vision on kind of looking at what the Kelly Blue Book model is and mm-hmm. saying, hey, that's lacking in healthcare. And where are the tools that can help, you know, consumers make the right choices, find the care that's accessible, be able to find care that meets their price point, can be quality, but meets their price point. So I think, you know, the market has now moved into Jeff and Bill's wheelhouse. It'll be interesting to get an update discussion from them.
Yeah, it will. And then the next following Healthcare Blue Book and the team there, it's actually going to be Chris Wakely, and he's with Thompson's Online Benefits. And what Chris is really going to talk about is you know, what they're doing as far as their business and the consumerization of really IT and where that's moving to help some employers administer employee benefits. And so that's
how the multinationals are really tied together. And, you know, that they're a major, major, you know, London operation. They're a global company that is very excited about this North American market and the opportunity around benefits administration. And it'll be interesting to learn more about their joint venture with Benefit Focus.
Yep. And rounding out the program is going to be Bart Sheeler. We've known Bart for a long time. He's the CEO of Go First Solutions, and he's really going to talk about integrating benefits, wellness, and voluntary products and how your broker can actually help you do that. And he's going to dig in a little bit more to some other aspects of what they do. So it's going to be a great program. You know, all three of these guests, big pieces of the healthcare consumerism megatrend. So it's going to be interesting to hear where they are and kind of how they're innovating. And as we move to kind of the concept of innovating, for everybody who's going to be attending IHC Forum and Expo here in Atlanta, we're actually going to take healthcare consumerism radio on site and really allow, you know, the sponsors there, the exhibitors there, to come on and really talk about their solutions and why should you be considering their solutions, what are they doing to innovate in this marketplace. And so our attendees at the event will be able to hear as they flow through the exhibit hall, you know, what are some of these solutions that we need to be looking at, and if something that they hear is appealing to them, they can go find, you know, go find that exhibitor who's maybe providing that unique solution that
yeah, we're excited
maybe
to add,
looking for.
Right, we're excited to add a component. And, you know, we talk about this too a lot, and, you know, that the ACA, one of the positive outcomes of the ACA is it has spurned tremendous innovation in this marketplace. And we all know some of the challenges of ACA, but, you know, you got to give it credit for spurning this innovation. There are, and, you know, not only in our Innovation Showcase, which is our kind of brand name for our exhibit area forum, but this radio program will enable, to your point, these, you know, our solution providers to really showcase specifically their innovation and what pain point or what opportunity is that innovation addressing, and do it in a very clear 13-minute, podcast that will be, you know, played throughout the event, but then will also be accessible after the event for attendees that can do follow-ups and say, hey, I might have missed that, now I can catch up on that because I did see them there, but you know, I didn't get a chance to really talk to them, or, hey, I want to go over and talk to them, which is kind of more the point that we're doing it, to get them to go over and engage with, you know, some of the solution providers.
Now, that when you talk about innovation, one of the big things that I saw come out and hit the wires yesterday is Cigna launching an exchange. You know, that's a big, you know, that's a big, one of the big health plans out there launching an exchange.
Yeah,
what's your thought on that?
Well, I think they're all going to have them. And, you know, I think it's interesting. And one of Cigna's first markets that they're coming here is right here in our backyard in Atlanta. I mean, that's why they're coming after four markets initially with this exchange. I think all the health plans are going to have them. And it's kind of interesting how these bedfellows are going to shake out. I mean, all the ancillary benefits people are going to have them. All the broker houses already, you know, have them. So, and I think one of the biggest things that Cigna was saying in launching that is that, you know, they're not playing in some of the public exchanges. They're not saying they won't. But right now they're not playing in some of the public exchanges, but they do see the viability of a private exchange to serve, you know, individuals, small and mid to large companies, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, so it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things that I saw this morning, and I don't know if you caught it, Doug, is that the administration is actually looking at a 3-year extension for those that lost their health care benefits during the last round.
I missed that this morning. That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so we need to catch up a little bit more on it, but there was something that ran across the bottom of the screen that mentioned that they are looking at a 3-year extension of those who actually lost their health insurance when, I guess it was some point at the end of last year. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And you know,
it's
like,
going to be an interesting, you know, the interesting point to kind of leverage from there. I know we got to go to the next segment, is that there's going to be a continuing debate. And, you know, at Forum, we're pretty excited about leading that debate because we have finalized our opening keynote where we've got Dr. Ken Thorpe from Emory, who is health policy advisor at Emory. It's going to be on what I call the left side, the public market single payer debate side. And we've got John Goodman, who's CEO of the National Policy Institute, who is looked at as the father of HSAs and free market thinking on the right side. So very exciting opening keynote and opening debate. So I hope you out there listening will check us out, and we'll see you in Atlanta. And stay tuned for the next segment, Healthcare Consumerism Radio.
Solution providers, are you aware of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism's multiple marketing platforms? You're invited to get a little closer to IHC with our Solution Provider Membership Marketing Program. Through IHC's exclusive Solution Provider Membership, your business gets an all-access pass to engaging your prospects. This membership embeds your business within the Institute, which immediately aligns your company, its solutions, and your key executives with the nationally credible IHC brand, and shows your support of the healthcare consumerism movement as a market-wide solution. And that's just the beginning. Contact IHC's Managing Director, Brent Macy, today at bmacy@theihcc.com.
This is Michael Gannot with the Middle East Research Center Limited, bringing you insight to Israel, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its struggle for sovereignty and security, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Certification. Do you know why becoming a certified healthcare consumerism specialist is more important than ever in 2014? Adding this specialized designation to your credentials tells employers or your clients that you understand how much our industry has changed and how to navigate that change successfully. IHC University's certification program offers coursework both online and live at their biannual forum conference series, and testing is completed online. Reaffirm your position as a leader in the health and benefit management industry. Download our certification overview and learn more at www.theihcc.com. That's www.theihcc.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Healthcare Consumerism Radio. This is Brent Macy and Doug Field, your host for today's show. And looking right at the healthcare transparency space. And, you know, it's a very hot market. And joining us on the program for this segment is Bill Campine. He's actually the co-founder of Healthcare Blue Book. Welcome to the program, Bill.
Thanks very much. Great to be here. Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Hey, Bill. Great to have you on the program. And Ron says his hellos. He's playing in the beach down in Florida today.
Oh, that's great. Good for him. I suppose I trust that y'all survived the storm of the century last week.
Well, I was playing down in Florida last week, too. I had a business trip down there and then took my wife and oldest grandson down there. So I escaped it all. So Brent got stuck in it. So.
Well, you know, good for you guys.
You know, I let Ron and Brent suffer through that last week. Well, Bill, hey, great to talk with you. And, you know, Brent and I were talking earlier on the opening news and views. I remember when we sit down with Jeff, your partner, you know, quite a few years ago, you guys were first coming out with this, you know, and you guys were way before your time, but you're right on mark, and now the market's surrounding you. So, you know, congratulations on that. You know, update our market with, you know, Healthcare Blue Book, where you are today, and what is your business model serving this market?
Sure. Yeah, and great. Just for your listeners who may not be familiar with Healthcare Blue Book, as you had alluded to, and thank you very much for your kind comments, we're one of the first companies in the healthcare price transparency space. We were founded in 2007, although the fundamental work that was the research that ultimately would become Blue Book had started many years earlier. But we principally provide healthcare price transparency tools to self-insured employers, TPAs, regional health plans, and large provider organizations. And as you, again, had mentioned just a moment ago, obviously, the general understanding of the issue of price transparency has grown tremendously over the past 3 or 4 years. I think it goes hand in hand with adoption of consumer benefit designs by some of our larger employers. And so with that, we've grown two or threefold and continue to serve our employer and payer community.
That's great. What you know, as Ron talks about a lot, you know, transparency is this big, broad, you know, topic, and we talk together about the right to know, you know, transparency. What transparency is really the right to know, the right of the consumers and other stakeholders to really know. What do you think is some of the most confusing aspects of transparency when you're that employer or that self-funded employer, you're that health plan, you know, let's talk about this consumers later, but those first that are looking to adopt this tool, what are some of the most confusing aspects that need to help them, hurdles need to get them over?
Yeah, that is a great question. And you know, I'll delineate between confusion and understanding, you know, and from the standpoint of Healthcare Blue Book, where we really begin with our clients is a very data-driven approach. And I think the most fundamental thing that you can do as an employer or that, you know, that we would do with our clients, for example, is to help them understand what is going on from a price perspective within the network that they currently have in the markets where their employees live and work every day. That is the fundamental understanding because, as I'm sure you're aware and has been pointed out in many different articles over the past year, markets are very, very different. You know, it depends upon where you live in the U.S. And which network you're using. And really, if you, as an employer, in order to have a thoughtful transparency, an effective transparency program for your employees, you really want to understand where to focus your attention and what things do we want to focus on. And so really I think that big part is that upfront education to just help folks understand, okay, what is this? What is going on in my markets? Where are the big problems areas? And what are the things that I need to focus my attention on? And I think that's really important.
Now, Bill, this is Brent. When you look at your solution set and when you're working with the employers and the health plans and the channel partners that you mentioned, is there anything they're coming to you and saying, hey, Bill, is there a possibility that we can have this option built in to what you guys are doing, so therefore we can offer it as a solution across whether it's our employee customers or our health plan members?
Yeah, again, great question. And again, I think very important. So, again, from our perspective at Blue Book, I think we really look at it as an open architecture. Transparency and consumerism in particular doesn't exist in a silo. And so you want this information to be available to employees and members wherever they interact with both the healthcare system as well as the other support programs. You know, employers make huge investments in things like on-site clinics and wellness programs and other things to support their employees. And so as we look at it, we really focus on integrating with all of those different options. And we are very, very open to being thoughtful and creative about integrating these capabilities so that they are all part of a transparency solution and that notion of consumerism doesn't sort of stand off to the side in a silo in order for it to be most effective. And, again, that could include integration of support programs, different quality initiatives. Some employers have high-performing network initiatives, and all of that, Blue Book is designed to be very, very flexible to integrate and include all of that various information.
Very good. Bill, what's your kind of pricing business model for? Is it a per employee per month, per member per month kind of model?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So okay. We use a per employee per month fee. You know, I think as from that perspective, we are a very value oriented organization. We want to make sure that this is a great investment for our clients, and our clients, you know, typically get a positive ROI when only 1-2% of the population uses this to make better decisions about their health care.
Now, Bill, when you're looking at the per employee per month, when you're talking with your customers and your clients, how do you gauge success in your program for that client of yours?
Yeah, a wonderful question. So, you know, at the end of the day, for a transparency program to be effective, we have to be moving cases from the higher end of the cost spectrum to the more value-oriented providers within that given network. And so really ultimately the test of effectiveness for us is are we tracking and how can we see that we are actually moving consumers to better value employers and how that actually translates directly into reduced savings. You know, of course, there are other aspects that are important that I think are table stakes. For any group that interacts with consumers, obviously utilization and other metrics, but at the end of the day, it is, are we actually having impact on the choices that individuals are making, and is that manifesting itself as cost savings?
Now, to accomplish that goal, I mean, the word in the marketplace is engagement, engagement, engagement. How are you helping, you know, your clients get that engagement with the consumers, the employees
sure.
and the consumers?
Yeah, sure. So I think, like, you know, most folks in the transparency space, we do have that that standard client toolkit that offers a fair amount of flexibility, and that's, you know, multimedia, videos, education. We like to do games and contests. You know, this is something that has to be communicated regularly and constantly to keep people engaged because, you know, as you know, someone may be informed or become first aware of price transparency tools as part of open enrollment, but, of course, they don't need care for 2 or 3 months later and aren't aware of it. So I think it's important to keep to use those tools to keep it sort of front of mind. But, you know, what is really, really effective for Blue Book are the use of tools that really, for us, help drive engagement, and that would include rewards. And you know, when we talk mm-hmm. about rewards, specifically, it's not for utilization or registering the tool or looking at the tool. You know, when we reward folks, we like to have the rewards tied to, did you use a high-value provider? And so for those who are familiar with Blue Book, we do a lot of intuitive color-coded guiding, better value providers we mm-hmm. typically call green providers. And our program is Go Green to Get Green, and it has been very, very effective and very, very popular with users. In addition to that, you know, there's very specific targeted messaging and mm-hmm. outreach. We have a pre-care outreach program. There are certain things, you know, obviously that we have identified up front that we want to focus our attention on, and we can reach out to members and help them make better decisions about guiding their care. In addition, and not all employers are ready for this step yet, but, you know, great use, great effectiveness of reference-based pricing in some instances. And we are doing that more and more with a greater number of our payer partners as the year goes by.
Well, when it comes to delivering consumerism tool, you actually have a pretty cool brand name too, Bill. Everyone's used the Kelly Blue Book at one point in time in their lives. I'm putting you in good company there. I know it's different, but I, you know, very seriously, it's a cool brand name.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
No, but when we've actually got a group of physicians that are going to be doing a general session at IHC Forum and Expo here in Atlanta in May, and they're really going to talk about the ACA, but they're also going to talk about what's the relationship between them and their patients. And do you see, you know, with the transparency piece, a more informed consumer coming in from a pricing standpoint, a quality standpoint, what's the role of really educating these providers and these physicians on, hey, you're going to have some patients coming in that are going to ask you some questions you might not be ready for. What's the value to making sure that that provider is educated in terms of cost?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this is a really interesting phenomena that, you know, that we've watched over the past few years. I don't know that a lot of other healthcare price transparency companies are, you know, have a, sort of our perspective on this. Again, for your listeners, Blue Book also provides a free consumer version of our tool that allows people to go out and go online and look up what a fair price is for a service in their zip code or their community. As part of that very public-facing free version of our software, we've done a fair amount of work with providers, and I think what we've noticed is, you know, providers are changing as time goes by, exactly what you had said. They see more and more patients with high deductibles coming in with concerns about cost, and in many instances, you know, the providers, be they the primary care providers or perhaps specialists who, like an orthopedic surgeon who may schedule a surgery, are not aware of the cost differences between facilities that they may send the patient to for, say, a diagnostic test. And so this is changing very rapidly. I think it's an interesting area for Blue Book. It is an area that we serve. We do work mm-hmm. with provider organizations to offer a version of our tool to help providers make better, more cost-effective referrals. I think it is of benefit to them not only for the patient as a consumer, but also under changing payment schemes where primary care practices or medical homes have more risk in terms of total cost for patients. It is indeed in their interest to help make more cost-effective referrals, and so they are using it for their own benefit as well. But it is a very interesting phenomenon that we're seeing unfold.
And Bill, wouldn't you agree too that you know, coming up over the next few years, accessibility and your tool can really help, you know, the consumers know what is accessible, correct?
Yes, no question. I suspect your question is referencing the narrowing of networks.
Yeah,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that'll be key as we see this unfold, I think, over the next couple of years.
Hey, Bill, we've got time flies when we're having fun, and really appreciate you being on the program. We've got about 30, 45 seconds to go. I want to give you a chance to leave our audience with some final words about Healthcare Blue Book.
Sure. Well, thanks very much again for the opportunity to chat with you all today. You know, I think just as listeners consider price transparency and think about it for their organizations, a couple of things are critical. You know, I think most importantly to understand up front what the landscape looks like and understand the problem rather than just assuming that you know, transparency is a universal issue. It's going to be very different depending upon where your employees live and work. Focus on the items. Be practical. Focus on the items that really matter and they'll move the cost needle, both for the employees and the employer. I think simple, intuitive, direct interfaces are most effective. And lastly, you know, don't be afraid to ask for flexibility and be creative and integrate transparency tools across all of the things that you do for your members. And with those items, you know, you can have a very, very successful transparency program.
Hey, Bill, thank you so much for joining us on the program today. Have a great weekend. And to the rest of our audience, stay tuned for the next segment of Healthcare Consumerism Radio.
Membership. Are you an IHC member? Access to the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism's breaking news, industry trends, expert blogs, and networking with IHC's industry-wide member community. IHC membership puts you at the focal point of the dynamic health and benefit industry, allowing you to join the conversation and collaborate with industry stakeholders and your peers. Your IHC membership includes a subscription to Healthcare Consumerism Solutions Magazine, Healthcare Exchange Solutions Magazine, annual publications Healthcare Solutions Superstars, and Healthcare Solutions Outlook, a free white paper, and much more. Sign up as a free IHC member or $99 premium IHC member today at www.theihcc.com. That's www.theihcc.com.
Hi, I'm Ray Bowman, hoping you'll join us each Friday at noon for our new show, Food and Farm, brought to you by FeedstuffsFoodLink.com, only on America's Web Radio.
Solution providers, are you aware of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism's multiple marketing platforms? You're invited to get a little closer to IHC with our Solution Provider Membership Marketing Program. Through IHC's exclusive Solution Provider Membership, your business gets an all-access pass to engaging your prospects. This membership embeds your business within the Institute, which immediately aligns your company, its solutions, and your key executives with the nationally credible IHC brand and shows your support of the healthcare consumerism movement as a market-wide solution. And that's just the beginning. Contact IHC's Managing Director, Brent Macy, today at bmacy@theihcc.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Hey, this is Doug Field along with my co-host, Brent Macy, and welcome back to this segment of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. And, you know, we've got a changing world out there that's, you know, throws a lot of challenges at companies and other stakeholders as far as how they can effectively manage and administer their benefits. And technology plays a big, big role. And coming to us today representing a major global company in this space is Chris Wakely, Senior VP with Thompson Online Benefits. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, good to have good to have you with us, this morning, and really appreciate your time with us.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
You know, you're a major global player. Maybe a lot of people in the U.S. don't know you yet, but you're a major global player, and it's interesting, you know, with your position here and some of the things you're doing. Update the audience on Thompson Online Benefits, and specifically then your initiatives here in North America.
Yeah, sure. So. Thompson's Online Benefits, just a short summary of who we are. So we're a business that specializes in global benefits management and employee engagement software. And really what that means is we help multinational organizations streamline how they manage all their benefit plans globally using our software. And also we help them in looking at how can we help you communicate all your benefit and reward plans in a globally consistent fashion whilst taking account of cultural nuances across different countries and also create an immersive and interesting experience for people that people will enjoy. Benefits are a very necessary thing, but this is all about creating a software experience where things are simple to do, and you can deliver pertinent and direct and targeted messages to people based on their own particular circumstances. So that's really who we are as a business. We're headquartered in London, England. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm from originally. You can probably hear that in my voice.
We can't tell you. Yeah, we can tell you.
We have offices in Romania, in Cluj, in Singapore, uh-huh. and in Northern California, just at the northern tip of Silicon Valley in a town called Burlingame. And I've been here since August. So mm-hmm. I've still retained my English accent, but I'm sure, if we were to do this in a year, maybe my accent will be a bit further diluted.
Yeah. Well, Chris, good to have you. So certainly, the buzzword in the marketplace is engagement, 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 whether you're multinational, whether you're located around the corner as a business headquartered in Burlingame. So it's certainly engagement, engagement, engagement. Anything specifically that you guys are doing around engagement that you want to share with our audience, doing uniquely around
engagement? Yeah, so I suppose, and you're right, it's a big word
yeah.
and, used a lot. So certainly from our perspective, it's so important that you get software right. And it's been interesting since I've been here, we've had a real life example of actually, healthcare and benefits and software in this and how you can get it wrong. And the government have shown us actually that you can take something that should be fantastic, but actually if the software and the experience is poor, it's not going to work. So that's right. It's been quite interesting because that's been obviously so high profile. So for us as a business, what we basically, when we're talking about engagement, certainly from a benefits and reward perspective, what we use our software for is about the ability to engage and communicate with people based on who they are or what they've done. And in effect, what I mean by that is you can use, so like our software, for example, you live in, let's say you live in Sweden
yeah.
and you've just got married. So your marital status changes. Now, at that point, you might not be thinking, well, how does this impact actually my reward and benefits plan in this particular country? But actually using software, as soon as our software, which is called Darwin, recognizes there's been a marital status change, it can be set up to immediately communicate that change, A, to the individual, and then reminding them actually how their employer's benefits plan can help them with that change. So reminding them it's worth getting their spouse and partner on the plan, mm-hmm. reminding them of some additional benefits that they may receive now that they have a change in status. They might want to up their travel insurance and life insurance, those sorts of things. So suddenly you're able to engage and communicate with people based on things that are actually happening to them, and it can be a unique and direct message for that individual rather than a one-size-fits-all. So that's one thing. And the next big change, really, certainly over the last 3 years, is mobile. Now, a lot of people, even in the sort of emerging markets, have smartphones and or tablets mm-hmm. now. So actually the ability to deliver messages, through those mediums, you can get at and get to and communicate with people much more easily. And, online is now so much more ubiquitous as a consequence. So we've seen, a lot of retail organizations who traditionally find it difficult to communicate with staff because they're on the shop floor, they don't have access to computers, but using software based on changes to actually communicate through their smartphone, through the tablets they might have mm-hmm. at home. So actually it is through this sort of the continual drive around mobile tools, actually engagement is becoming easier if you have the right software as a foundation. And that's certainly the big change that we've seen certainly in the last 2 to 3 years.
Now, Chris, this is Brent. How do you bridge kind of the cultural divide that you might encounter being a multinational company with your solution?
Yes, that's a very interesting point. So we have a particular client, who are a high-tech firm, call themselves the Internet Company, protective of their brand, but I'll say we have agreed a globally consistent brand and message for them. So no matter where you are in the world, the experience when you log in or when you've just been sent an offer letter and you can review your benefits and reward, the actual branding and the software that you're using is the same, because obviously it's ours. However, depending on where you are, so if you were to log in as a new starter in the UK, for example, actually, interestingly, the tone of the software is different in terms of the language that it uses and how it's structured, in that it actually has a sense of humor. And what I mean by that is the words that are used around the software and some of the communications have an edge of humor to them. And actually, you know, our belief is as well, people like to be entertained. Even if you are delivering, you know, corporate messages, sure, it's important that you actually entertain people and that they enjoy taking on the information that you're delivering. Now, actually, then, if you were to log into the same piece of software because you've just started in their German office, actually, the brand and the experience would be the same. But interestingly, this is not me stereotyping. This is just the way that it was decided to go. The actual tone of the software is very serious because although they have a global brand, they recognize that the culture and the style of the organizations in the different countries are different. And, you know, that's one of the things we work very closely on when we're working with multinational organizations, looking at the cultural nuances that those businesses have. And, you know, it's especially sort of relevant, especially in businesses that are multinational who've acquired a lot of organizations. So a lot of the time when we're working with them, the first thing they want to do is just have this globally consistent brand. And then within that, they might have, you know, cultural or language nuances flowing down from there. But with the software, that allows you to actually split out how and where you communicate things. So we do a lot of work with our multinationals on things like personas. Mm-hmm. So who is it that works for you? What type of people from your 22-year-old man or woman who's, you know, fresh out of college, it's their first job, to someone like me, you know, it's 42, entering middle age gracefully, I hope, you know, two kids, a wife, a very homesick wife, I might add, you know, I'm going to be interested in very different things to the 22-year-old me, would be 20 years ago. So I should I be communicated with differently and be communicated about different things? Yes, I probably should be. And the software allows you to say, you know, well, if this guy's 42 and we can see he's got dependents, it should be this message. So it does allow you to sort of to be more targeted in the way in which you can engage and communicate with people.
Hey, Chris, we've got about a minute to go. Time flies when we're having fun here. And I want you to be able to talk in 1 minute of time a little bit about the collaboration with Benefit Focus as we kind of wind this down.
Sure. So what you have, Benefit Focus and us, we're like two cousins removed at birth in that when we found each other, we're both the same age as companies. We both have a total focus on using software to engage employees and streamline benefits management. But you have two businesses, one of whom has only ever focused on the U.S. domestic market, and the other one, us, who's only ever focused on the international market, except for the U.S. So actually it felt like a great collaboration for the first time that we could offer a truly global benefit solution to multinational organizations. So actually what you can set up now is you can take one feed from HRIS, we'll split the data. Then whether you're in the U.S., you're using the Benefit Focus software. If you're internationally, you're using ours, and they have a very, very similar look and feel. And actually, you can create a sort of a truly global scheme.
Interesting.
Hey, so, you know, that's been a fantastic partnership for us.
All right. Hey, Chris, I appreciate it. Let our audience know how they can get in touch with you, please.
Yeah, so best way is, you know, log on to our website, www.thompsons.com. As with all websites, there will be lots of buttons there that say contact us or get in touch. Just push one of those, and you'll come through straight to Thompson's, and we'd love to talk to you.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for joining us on the program today. Hope you have a great weekend out there on the West Coast. And to the rest of our audience, please stay tuned for the next segment of Healthcare Consumerism Radio.
That's great.
Certification. Do you know why becoming a certified healthcare consumerism specialist is more important than ever in 2014? Adding this specialized designation to your credentials tells employers or your clients that you understand how much our industry has changed and how to navigate that change successfully. IHC University's certification program offers coursework both online and live at their biannual forum conference series, and testing is completed online. Reaffirm your position as a leader in the health and benefit management industry. Download our certification overview and learn more at www.theihcc.com. That's www.theihcc.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Membership. Are you an IHC member? Access to the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism's breaking news, industry trends, expert blogs, and networking with IHC's industry-wide member community. IHC membership puts you at the focal point of the dynamic health and benefit industry, allowing you to join the conversation and collaborate with industry stakeholders and your peers. Your IHC membership includes a subscription to Healthcare Consumerism Solutions Magazine, Healthcare Exchange Solutions Magazine, annual publications Healthcare Solutions Superstars, and Healthcare Solutions Outlook, a free white paper, and much more. Sign up as a free IHC member or $99 premium IHC member today at www.theihcc.com. That's www.theihcc.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Hey, this is Doug Field along with my co-host Brent Macy, and welcome back to the segment of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. And on this segment, we're going to talk about integrating benefits, wellness, and voluntary products. And actually, what's the broker role? I mean, there's a lot of question marks out there that are being asked about what is the broker's role in this changing environment. And joining us to talk about this and much more is Bart Sheeler, CEO of Go First Solutions. Good morning, Bart. How are you?
Hi, Doug. Hi, Brent. How are you guys?
We're doing good. How about yourself?
Doing real well. Lots of snow in Ohio this winter, but it's all fun.
Yeah, you guys have gotten hit pretty much. Hey, give our audience I know this is your new venture. You know, you've got a pretty good track record in this space as an entrepreneur. Tell us about Go First, and then let's talk specifically about some other elements here, trends in the market, okay?
Yes, sure. So a little background about me. I live in Cincinnati with my wife, Jennifer. I have two boys, Brandon, a minor league baseball umpire.
Go Bucks.
Bryce, and a high school senior that plans to study engineering. Way back when, I got my undergraduate degree and an MBA, both from the University of Dayton, where I focused on business management and marketing. In 98, I co-founded Active Health with four other folks and served as CEO, which led to an acquisition by Nurture Health back in January of 2010. One of my most proud accomplishments was creating an exclusive partnership with Duke University's Center for Living, who became a longstanding and trusted partner, a relationship that I really enjoyed for over 15 years. While at Active Health, we built an online platform called the PhD Network. It was delivered personalized education program, individuals based on risk factors and lifestyle traits identified during the health assessment, included educational lessons developed by the experts at Duke, and included other things like goal-setting tools, program tracking, and incentive point management, all within one health management platform. But after spending 15 years on the inside of the wellness industry, about 6 months ago, I went back out on my own, decided to move back into the market independently to help small and mid-market employers and brokers understanding the value of integrating typical wellness initiatives with overall benefits design and new solutions like telemedicine, all to improve program outcomes and save insured employers on health plan costs. So today I'm kind of excited about being able to talk about all this can fit together for the common good.
Yeah, talk to us about the broker's role that you see it going forward. You know, the way you were on the program earlier, I'm speaking to a group of brokers in Houston on Monday, and their whole theme of their event is operating in the new normal. So, you know, smart brokers are trying to figure it out. So what do you see the broker's role going forward?
Sure. So brokers can be a tremendous resource in the overall benefit design process. A lot of this has been done in separate silos over the years, and involving brokers in strategic discussions and reviewing the products that they bring to the table as part of the process, and not just add-ons reviewed with employees during open enrollment. That would go a long way in the development of fully integrated health, wellness, and benefits-driven programs. Using wellness programs and incentives in support of high-deductible health plans, brokers understand well, that can work, but the small and mid-sized groups may not. And using them as the local expert to help drive some of those strategic discussions can make a real big difference. For example, achievement of certain goals or rewards could trigger additional contributions from the employer into the employee's health savings account, or could even subsidize voluntary benefits like vision or dental programs. Brokers, you know, they offer several new employer-paid and voluntary products as well, and if properly promoted, they can lower self-insured plan costs too.
Bart, how does this? How do the brokers get compensated for that work? Because I know that's a big, but a lot of brokers scratch their head saying, "Hey, I know we need to be more consultative, and the smart ones have always been more consultative." But at the end of the day, how do we get compensated for this extra work that we're being asked to do? For the benefit of our client.
So you mentioned, consultative work, and that really is the key going forward, that it's really important for each broker to act as a strategic partner and to be consultative. Offering a wellness program and making a little bit off of a shared revenue with a wellness provider isn't really going to pad a broker's pocket. The,
right.
The real key here is protecting the relationship with the client and then being able to maximize its, the broker's opportunity to move all of the products that are available in a convergence of typical fully insured health products and voluntary benefits, all that are going to benefit the broker's typical revenue stream and protect it from a defensive standpoint. The other key thing that I see here is that brokers that are still looking out the rearview mirror at how they used to do it are going to get passed up by brokers that are more progressive and much more consultative and can really take these solutions in a turnkey approach out to their clients.
Do we move to a fee-based program? Is that where it's moving?
I still think that at least in the near term, 3 to 5 years, there'll be some progressive brokers that get to consulting fee-based levels. But again, there's plenty of revenue for the broker if they protect the relationship and they get the penetration into their products that are important. The key is to make sure they stay progressive and on top of the cutting-edge products that are making a difference in today's market.
Bart, this is Brent. I know when you were in the industry with Active Health and then with Nurture, a lot of the health and wellness initiatives tended to live in the Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 universe. And now that you're focused down to the small and mid markets, how do you get a wellness program implemented into those type of companies, given the limited number of resources they may have?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, some of the things I noticed, with all the experience is that, employers are tired of being the safety net in the insurance world, but individuals are not so focused on personal responsibility, and that's been the big, the big gap over the years. The key is that small to mid-sized companies have been slow to enact programs that can enhance culture and reduce costs. The key is to find solid platforms with the ability to collect and store baseline information, implement effective promotion and engagement efforts, and employ incentive and reward programs to drive participation. The key is that, while it's true big companies have seen a lot of success over time, it seems the small companies and the mid-market companies have been too busy focusing on running their company or building widgets and trying to make a profit to take all the steps necessary to start or sustain an organized wellness program. But, it doesn't have to be complicated. The key is to find the right mix of cost-effective outsourced solutions like health assessments, web portals, educational programming, and incentive management tools, but to then couple those pieces with internal resources that understand the culture of each group, that drive the promotional campaigns and administer the incentive programs that will resonate with each individual participant.
Yeah,
the key is to get support from program champions and company leadership along the way.
You talk a lot about you talk about the voluntary supplemental health side. You're talking about the wellness side. You know, a buzzword in the industry right now is telemedicine, telehealth, and it's real. I mean, it's real as a cost reduction tool. It's real as far as some accessibility challenges. Talk to us a little bit about telehealth for the small to mid-sized companies.
Sure. So telemedicine offers around-the-clock affordable health care, you know, 24/7 on-demand access to licensed physicians. It's widely reimbursable. It's becoming integrated into the delivery systems of benefit offerings of major health plans and self-funded groups.
Mm-hmm.
The Affordable Care Act even specifically mentions telemedicine as a tool to improve the information delivery, to improve access and information delivery as part of a more cost-effective way to deliver care. Some of the top statistics, you know, I don't know if people realize, but, you know, the top three reasons that people go to the emergency room are sinus, ear, and upper respiratory infection,
All
of which can be diagnosed and treated with, you know, prescriptions via telemedicine. Average call response time is 20 to 30 minutes, so about as fast as you can get to a doctor or an emergency room, you're already on the phone talking to one. Consultations are 14 minutes. You know, average time with a doctor today is only 4 to 6 minutes, so you're getting some quality time over the phone or chat with a doctor.
And I think you said it well earlier, Bart, is that, you know, telehealth, telemedicine is not the end-all, be-all solution. It's a part of the toolkit, correct?
It really is. It supplements the efforts that you can do with wellness. It's just one more piece of the puzzle. The whole idea is to redirect care away from costly services that hit, you know, self-funded health plans. An emergency room visit cost of the health plan, while it might be $100 copay or $150 copay, the cost of the actual health plan is over $1,000. Same thing with urgent care. You know, might cost the health plan $350, even though it might be a $50 copay. So telemedicine is a very, very cost-effective way for 70% of the things that people are going to the emergency room or urgent care for.
Bart, I want to give you, we got about 30 seconds left on the program, and I do want to give you time to kind of give our audience one last takeaway and let them know how they can find you. But also did want to mention to our audience that Bart will be working with us on setting up a telemedicine workshop at the conference. So that will be interesting. More details will be on the website there. But Bart, let our audience know how they can find you and give them kind of one good takeaway.
Sure. So you can find me. My website is gofirstone.com. My email is bart@gofirstone.com. And I'm looking forward to working with you going forward. In terms of takeaways, just the bullets, wellness program success depends on your approach. So you have to make sure that it resonates with each participant. So what I mean by that is if you make it meaningful to me, I'm more likely to stick with it. I want people to understand that telemedicine provides a valuable service. It's convenient. It saves costs. And I think that the key point is a broker should be utilized and leveraged in the overall benefit design process.
Well, Bart, thank you so much for joining us today on the program. Hope you have a wonderful weekend up there in Ohio. And to the rest of our audience, this is Brent and Doug signing off. Till next week.
See you next week.
PrivateHealthcareExchanges.com. Have you checked out the only online guide where employers, health plans, brokers, and consultants can navigate private exchange and defined contribution markets? Browse PrivateHealthcareExchanges.com today. The emergence of private health insurance exchanges represents perhaps the most significant shift in how Americans purchase health benefits in years. As employers move their employee population into private exchanges, this trend is on a growth projection into the 2015 benefit year and beyond, according to research published by Allegis Technologies. Visit privatehealthcareexchanges.com today to browse our national searchable directory and for Healthcare Exchange Solutions magazine and newsletter. Be sure to submit your listing for inclusion in this groundbreaking guide at www.privatehealthcareexchanges.com. That's www.privatehealthcareexchanges.com.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.